In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Not in this election cycle. Words are far, far more important than actions. With all the focus on what Trump said or thought or someone thought that he thought, and therefore it must be true and reported as factual news, one thing is missing. Hillary. She's like the invisible candidate out there, the invisible female candidate, lest we forget the historical nature of it all. But isn't it odd that the media is far, far more focused on what Trump said instead of what Hillary has actually done? Her actions. Benghazi, exposing national security emails and our systems to our enemies, refusing to cooperate with the FBI when warned her system was under attack. The Clinton Foundation, $6 billion still missing from the State Department. These and so many actions by Hillary are ignored by the media because Donald Trump might have said something that might have offended someone. Here on iSpy Radio, we're going to take a different approach and actually focus on Hillary and what a Hillary administration would look like. In fact, this is the first in an ongoing series of shows, not every week, but definitely more than a few, between now and the election that puts the spotlight on Hillary and what she's actually done. First up, James Herson on the roots of Hillary's email problems. Not her private server, this is something different. Then we'll talk with William Gein of Allipac and we'll learn about Hillary's secret weapon for amnesty and what you can do about it. I'd like to welcome James Herson back to the show. James is a commentator and media analyst and the New York Times bestselling author of Tales from the Left Coast, True Stories of Hollywood Stars and Their Outrageous Politics. James, always good to talk to you.
Hey, great to be with you.
Yeah, so on jamesherson.com, you've got a really interesting and extensive article on how Hillary and her staff opened her own door to be hacked. Would it not be poetic justice beyond all measure if the hackers gained access to the DNC and these other Democrat organizations via Hillary's private server?
Yeah, it's very ironic, and it is poetic. I mean, we're looking at the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, their Congressional Campaign Committee right now, and the campaign offices of Hillary Clinton herself have all reportedly had these hacks. And it's been interesting because there are some Democratic Party spokespeople who say, hey, look, you know, this must be the Russians. Putin and Trump have been friendly, and therefore Putin is trying to interfere with the election and wants to rig it, in essence, for Trump. But the interesting part is that what they forgot about is just the way hackers work. You know, Guccifer, as he's known, Marcel Lazare Lahel is Guccifer. I told many news outlets that he hacked Hillary's server. And what we're talking about is the unprotected home server that Hillary Clinton put in her house for the purposes of cover-up, because what she wanted to do was keep the prying eyes of Freedom of Information Act requests and journalists from knowing these emails she exchanged regarding the Clinton Foundation and her speeches. And who knows what else is in the 33,000 emails that she disposed of illegally. So we know the thing was hacked. We know from the testimony and the evidence that was produced in the Senate committee that it was left unprotected for a substantial period of time. And we know how hackers work. And this is where a new term comes into the public arena, at least for some of the public, and that is the term spear phishing. And phishing is spelled P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G. Now, some people have heard of phishing with a P-H. You know, they'll get an email that purportedly comes from PayPal or from Amazon or from one of the big national banks. And it asks you, you know, it says there's a problem and you need to go in and confirm your password or other private information. And there are literally hundreds of thousands of people have suffered identity theft through these kinds of emails that are called phishing with a PH. But what a hacker, and not even a real sophisticated hacker, what amateur hackers who clearly could get in to Hillary Clinton's server would acquire is the email, actual current emails that had been sent and received on that server for a very long period of time, and all of the email addresses of people that Hillary Clinton had corresponded with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously, that list would include a lot of big-name Democrats and a lot of big-name Democrat institutions. And the next move for hackers, unless they acquired a silly, easy password from Hillary Clinton's own server, would be to launch spear phishing, which is an email that's made to look like it comes from an authority figure that the recipient knows.
Right.
And it would contain content that the general public doesn't know. And if you get an email that says from your boss, essentially, that says in it, you remember the email I sent you last week about the Smith affair? Well, I've attached a very important memo, and I need you to go over it right away, signed your boss. You are going to have more of a trust in that email, and there's more, the odds are that you'll open up the attachment. That's, of course, the bad thing to do, because the attachment has within it an executable embedded program, a piece of software that will just ravage your computer and take it over or suck the data out of it. And you send out those kind of spear phishing emails to a list that's acquired from Hillary Clinton's server, and it just, it creates a cyber crisis that is oriented towards Democrat institutions, which is why I believe we're seeing so many broken into. And for Julian Assange to be able to have access to so many of these emails, and now he says he's going to have more, including Clinton Foundation, including some material that he says will result in the arrest of Hillary Clinton. For him to have that means that one or more hackers have done it. And during the embedded documents that were acquired by the Freedom of Information Act from one of the companies that worked with Hillary Clinton already indicate that China, Korea, and Germany had attempted hacks.
Yes.
There were other evidence that indicates Russia attempted hacks. And so the idea that most experts say they all have it. China has these emails. That's why when Donald Trump said, asked Russia, sort of tongue-in-cheek, to find the 33,000 emails, it was astonishing the way the press covered it, because the press, instead of focusing on the fact that Hillary Clinton destroyed evidence, they focused on a fictitious conspiracy theory that, you know, Donald Trump was working together with Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, well,
this election.
Like you mentioned there, pretty much everybody had access to her servers. So instead of a firewall and a moat and a gate, she basically had a revolving door. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break right there. Lots more with James Herson after this, talking about Hillary. And thanks for staying with us on the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today to James Herson. James is a commentator and media analyst and the New York Times bestselling author of Tales from the Left Coast. And we've been talking about this Hillary hacking that is making the news here. You have an article up on jamesherson.com. And just to add to it, some of what you're saying there about the spear phishing, you mentioned that they leave these executable files on there. Another, in my mind, very dangerous threat is that sometimes they go undetected because they don't necessarily have an attachment that you open and that it destroys your computer. But sometimes they'll leave an executable on your system that can be then exploited time and time and time again.
Oh, that's right. There are emails that can be designed to penetrate in whole or in part just by the email themselves, by images, by things that are contained within the email that you don't have to open an external attachment. And the Associated Press reported that some of those emails were in fact found on the emails that were produced by the State Department that were given to the FBI. So, you know, I think that that a huge part of this story, though, is the media and mm-hmm. the pivot that the media has taken ever since the beginning of the Democratic National Convention, where the media has just said, we don't care if we appear biased. We don't care if we ignore stories. We're just going to ignore them.
Oh, yeah.
Julian Assange had this document dump that contained this treasure trove of emails, and it resulted in the embarrassing resignation of Debbie Wasserman Schultz. But the entire media dropped the story after she resigned, when in fact it had a whole bunch of other stories. It had stories of illegality that was happening within the DNC, of racist communications, sexist communications, basically making fun of an African-American woman's name, making fun of gays. These are the compassionate people that work in the DNC. And the media decided, well, we're not going to cover it. Just like a whole host of stories that they've ignored, instead focusing on the Khan family, the Gold Star family, and a fictitious story, really. So the media has decided that they just have to join the Hillary Clinton campaign now. And I say the mainstream media. And even Fox News, to some extent, other than other than Sean Hannity and maybe part of Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, they've really dropped the ball there.
Yeah, it's really, it's just an amazing thing. And here we sit, polls coming out on this day that the media will not report on. The LA Times USC Daily poll shows Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump tied.
Yes, yes, saw that one.
A poll in North Carolina shows 30% of African American voters, 32%,
wow,
voting, saying they'll vote for Trump. It's unheard of numbers, and no stories.
Yeah.
No stories. All we hear in the media are, you know, these anti-Trump stories about Republicans defecting, et cetera. No stories about Bernie Sanders supporters defecting, which is happening. They've dropped all pretenses of being a responsible fourth estate.
Well, and not only that, but they're not even trying to look ahead. I mean, you mentioned this report with Julian Assange, where he basically said that they have all of the emails that went into the Clinton Foundation, and they're getting ready to drop that, and it's enough to put her in jail. And they're not even looking at that. To me, I think that's really where the damage is, because it's pretty clear that she was guarding the private side of her emails far more than she was her Secretary of State emails. And at one point, in one of the emails to Aberdeen, she said she wanted no chance of access to the private emails. What do you suspect we'll see in there?
The thing I suspect is it has to do with the quid pro quo money that benefited the Clinton Foundation or the Clintons themselves, that will prove in the emails the fact that it was a quid pro quo. I mean, the correlation is so powerful when all of a sudden Hillary Clinton becomes Secretary of State and she and her husband's speaking fees
skyrocket.
And institutions that would benefit from changes in U.S. policy make donations to the foundation and get those changes.
Yes.
Peter Schweizer in his work, and Peter Schweizer is a very good journalist, he documents everything. His book, Clinton Cash, sets forth the issues with the foundation. And we see it continuing, the media wearing blinders.
Mm-hmm.
In the current story about the $400 million in cash paid to Iran, secretly on an unmarked boat with foreign currency cash, like a drug deal in the night, on the very day that hostages are released. And it's just breathtaking to watch these government officials use the word ransom over and over again. We don't pay ransom. This is not a ransom. If it looks and quacks like a ransom and you think it's a ransom, stop thinking that.
Yeah.
That's essentially what we're hearing. And it's kind of like Hillary Clinton when she was on with Chris Wallace.
Yeah.
And he brings up her testimony, and particularly the testimony of James Comey when Trey Gowdy had him in cross-examination. And James Comey said, She lied about this. She lied about that. She lied about this. She lied about that. And Hillary Clinton says, I didn't hear that, Chris.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
I heard something different. He doesn't follow up. The press doesn't report.
No.
It's breathtaking. No candidate would be able to survive the performance that Hillary Clinton had on that at that moment. But no candidate would be able to survive lying to the kin, to the family of slain soldiers in Benghazi, to their face, while the caskets are there. And the press says, well, that's old news, we won't report
on. Yeah, if Trump had done that, their skulls would split open. It's amazing how much they are giving her a pass. I'd like to thank you for your time, and we'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
All right, thanks for having me.
Coming up, we'll be talking with William Gein of AllyPak and Hillary Clinton's secret weapon for amnesty. And welcome back. Thanks for staying with us here on the iSpy Radio Show. We're going to shift gears now and talk to William Gein. He is the president of AllyPak. AllyPak, that's Americans for Legal Immigration Political Action Committee. And William is considered one of the top immigration experts in America. William, it's great to talk to you again.
Hey, glad to be back with you. And I really enjoyed the last time I was on and we defeated that measure, where I talked about defeating that Measure 88, the licenses for illegals in Oregon. That was a big privilege to be on your show about that.
That was a big and very important win for sure. And glad that you were able to help with that. Last time that we talked, you had just endorsed Trump for president. It was the first time AllyPak had ever endorsed a presidential candidate during the primary. And people just loved you for it, didn't they?
Well, a lot of people appreciate it, but there was a lot of people, you know, about one-third of our supporters were with Ted Cruz, and they were very upset with me, and we're still actually recovering from losing about a quarter of our supporters that got upset with us about that. But we have new supporters coming in through Trump, and we have some of the people that were angry about that endorsement coming back to us. But, you know, you have to understand, Donald Trump owned the illegal immigration issue. He took what we've been doing on the illegal immigration issue, and he got up there, and he sounded like William Gein of AllyPak. But he got more attention in the first 2 weeks of doing that than I've been able to garner in 10 years because of his star power and his candidacy for president. So with him owning the illegal immigration issue and promising full deportation, you know, we made the endorsement, and we endorsed him before everybody knew he was going to win, when people didn't know if he was going to win or not. And, you know, now we've done that, and now we want to go on to focus on defeating Paul Ryan, defeating John McCain, and then defeating Hillary Clinton, who, of course, supports complete amnesty for illegals and open borders.
Yeah, and especially when you compare the two side-by-side, Trump's immigration plan versus Hillary's, I mean, there's just no comparison to that. These people that want to say that Trump is the exact same as Hillary, not on immigration, they certainly aren't, but we're going to get back to that in a future segment here. I am glad to hear that people started to come around, though, especially as we're getting closer to this and when they are faced with the possibility of Hillary. But it's really interesting. There was, and I forget exactly where I saw this, but I've got the quote. It says, Republicans who are willing to thwart Trump in favor of Clinton will be complicit in electing a president who would seek to bring about the complete and possibly irreversible dissolution of our nation's borders. I mean, that's just stunning when you look at it that way.
Well, that's the truth. And the bottom line to it is, I mean, both Hillary Clinton and her running mate, Kane, have promised full-blown amnesty for all illegal immigrants, which would lead to voting rights within their first 100 days of office.
Yes.
And the other interesting thing that Kane, her running mate, has pointed out is that they believe they can do this even if the Republicans hold on to Congress, which is expected, because Paul Ryan is with them. If you want to compare anybody to Hillary Clinton on immigration, you need to look at the establishment Republicans like Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, Speaker Paul Ryan, and John McCain. They're the ones that are exactly like Hillary on immigration. And Donald Trump has just won the GOP primary against 22 different candidates that were all expected to be stronger than him because he differentiated himself on immigration. He said, no, I'm not going to do amnesty. I'm going to build a wall across most of the border, and then I'm going to kick all the illegals out, which the current laws call for. And then you've seen people like Paul Ryan and Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio all criticize him for that. And Paul Ryan even went so far as to saying that he, as Speaker of the House, would sue to stop Trump's immigration plans and Trump's temporary ban on Muslim refugees coming in from dangerous countries where we cannot vet them for terrorist ties.
Well, and what was so astonishing, too, about that Tim Kaine announcement is he made it on Telemundo, for one thing. But he basically said that House Speaker Paul Ryan will lead the GOP to embrace legalization. That's kind of stunning. I mean, it's like Paul Ryan is the secret weapon for Hillary on this.
Well, Paul Ryan is one of those traitor Republicans that are leading conservatives to their doom. The idea is to try to lead conservatives into supporting some form of amnesty, any guest worker program, temporary worker program, comprehensive immigration reform. They come up with a different name for it because as soon as people find out what it really is, they hate it by an 80% margin. And to get the illegals that are here to be able to stay. And if the illegals that are here are allowed to stay in any capacity, they will eventually vote because they're already voting in large numbers east of the Mississippi in places like, you know, Nevada and California, possibly Oregon, and because nobody's checking to stop them, so why not? They've exploited every other thing of American. I mean, if you study it, you find illegal immigrants working on nuclear power plants. There's nothing they haven't infiltrated. So we're looking at a situation where right now, and one of the things people need to brace themselves for in both your state and surrounding states is, by Election Day, Donald Trump could be up 65%, 70% of Americans, Democrats, unaffiliated Republicans, white, black, Hispanics, legal Americans, all supporting him. But when the mass criminality occurs that's going to happen in the heavy Democratic precincts, there's already mass criminality happening in the heavy Democratic precincts, because if you look across your state or any state in America, and you look at the heaviest Democratic precincts in the hearts of the cities and the towns, that's where you'll find the highest violent and property crime rates, and you'll find the highest levels of voter and elections fraud and corruption. Mm-hmm. And they're going to vote a lot of graveyard people who are, you know, been dead for years. They're going to vote a lot of invalids from the nursing homes, and they're going to vote a bunch of illegal aliens, which it's a felony for them to register and a felony for them to vote, but they don't have to worry about it because they got the backing of the Justice Department. Obama, Paul Ryan, Mark Zuckerberg, they don't have to worry about it. So the illegals are coming out to vote.
Yeah.
And
what do you make of some of these recent court rulings that have said that no ID is needed? Are they going to be challenged before Election Day?
Well, that stung us very hard here in North Carolina, where our Republican House and Senate, which, you know, North Carolina used to be part of the deep Democrat South until Republicans took over just about 7 or 8 years ago. And they put up the voter ID law, which is a reasonable law in the minds of most Americans and North Carolinians, but a panel of three liberal judges just struck it down, and we're fighting back against it. But that was our defense screen. That was the way that we were going to stop a bunch of illegal aliens and a bunch of fraudulent votes from being cast in the criminal Democratic precincts. And now that's down. So that means that the big cities in our state, like Charlotte, North Carolina, and Greensboro, North Carolina, and Durham, North Carolina, which have massive levels of corruption amongst their liberal and socialist combined with hardcore business enterprise in the center, they're gonna vote illegals, and they're gonna vote, and they're gonna have Democratic operatives that carry people around. Oh, and they're dumping out. Their nothing is they want to dump more people out of prison. They're pushing people out of prison, and they're trying to clear the way. They made this very clear in Virginia. They've made it very clear they want felons to be able to vote. They don't like the idea that people with felonies can't vote anymore because so many Democrats have felonies.
Didn't that get struck down, though, the Virginia law and allowing felons?
For now, it's been pushed back, but you see where they're going.
Yes.
You see what they want.
Well, you know, when your ideas can't win at the ballot box, you certainly have to cheat at the ballot box. So, we're up against the clock here, so let me go ahead and take a break here. Everyone stay with us. Lots more with William Guillen of Alley Pack. And welcome back. This is the I Spy Radio Show. I'm your host, Mark Anderson. Talk today to William Guillen of Alley Pack. That's Americans for Legal Immigration. And so we were talking in the previous segment there about Paul Ryan, and I'd like to really focus in on him in this segment because I think he's really kind of the poster child of the Never Trump people but especially in terms of immigration. I mean, he is so opposed to so much of what Trump wants to do, and as we said, he's kind of the secret weapon there for Hillary. But there is a really interesting quote that you had in a WorldNet Daily article talking about Paul Ryan, and you said, quote, "Once you go amnesty, you never come back. We have never seen a politician honestly be on the wrong side of this issue and then transition to the right side. We've seen them back off for a while, but then they always come back." And that struck me from two things. First of all, I mean, that's Is that true? You have never seen one single politician go pro-amnesty and then realize it was a mistake and come back to the right side? You've never seen that?
No, once they've sold their soul.
Wow.
They never come back. They never come back. They pretend like they come back. You see Marco Rubio, he passed the amnesty bill from the Senate in 2013 with McCain and the liberal Democrats like Dick Durbin, and then he ran away from his own legislation to run for president because he was looking at the polls saying that he was unelectable because of it. John McCain, 6 years ago, had been the big face of amnesty for Republicans in the Senate. And he stood there arm in arm with liberal Massachusetts Senator Ted Kennedy to try to pass amnesty, which our organization stopped them from passing. You know, all these conversations we're having about legal immigration right now would not be happening if we had not stopped those bills. It would be over, and there would be 20 million more of them here by now, and anybody talking like us would have, you know, could not be able to do this without being run out of our own towns. But John McCain, 6 years ago, went back to the people of Arizona, walked out, you know, tried to campaign. They chewed him up in the town hall meetings and stuff he threw, and he finally came out and said, okay, he said, I've heard your voices, and I'm not going to support immigration reform amnesty anymore. If you'll let me go back to D.C. for one last term, he told them that he would never support amnesty again. Well, he went back up there, and a few years later in 2013 became part of the Gang of Eight, passed amnesty from Senate, almost got it to Obama's desk, except our Republican friends that are not like Paul Ryan in the House stopped it. And now he's running for re-election. So Paul Ryan and John McCain, they will come out. Paul Ryan right now is running ads in his district claiming he's tough on border security
and he's going to
protect us from terrorists, because the truth of the matter is he's weak on border security and he's not protecting us from terrorists. He's actually giving Obama the money he needs to bring in illegal aliens and Muslim refugees with terrorists among them that will be killing U.S. citizens, that are probably killing U.S. citizens right now, if truth be told, with the money that Paul Ryan has provided. So these liars, they pretend to flip and flop, but the truth of the matter is once they serve the grand evil that is doing this to the United States of America, we've never seen them really come back after that. So, you know, once they go on the amnesty list, the Cantor list, people need to remember you can't buy their election day flip-flops because they don't have any problem about lying about it. And that's why we're calling them Lion Ryan, Lion Paul Ryan. Is the name of our automated call, and it's in our radio ad that's going up in Wisconsin this weekend. Lion Paul Ryan is trying to tell everybody he's against amnesty. Even John McCain, we've got Ryan's campaign is on August 9th, and that's from what, 5 days from now, is when Ryan's district will be decided. It won't be decided in November. It will be decided in the GOP primary on the 9th. We have endorsed, as many other great conservatives have, Paul Nehlen. It's pronounced Nehlen, but it's spelled N-E-H-L-E-N for Congress. We are doing everything in our power to get people to volunteer for his campaign and to donate to his campaign in the final moments, and of course vote for his campaign, because we're in this final five-day run where we've got this massive momentum building across the country. And you can see that momentum if you want to go to Facebook and go search for Paul Ryan, and you go to his Facebook page. It's like I just did a check before coming on your show. It's like 96% of the responses to everything he's posting about his campaign are negative, because people are upset with the fact that he's bashing Donald Trump instead of helping his campaign, which means he's helping Hillary, and B, the word about how Paul Ryan has actually helped fund Obama's unpopular and unconstitutional executive amnesty orders. Paul Ryan has voted and made sure that funding went to Obama for dangerous Muslim refugee resettlement and illegal alien settlement and sanctuary city policy.
You know, the thing is, and I've seen that ad where he claims that he's very pro-border and border security, and it's so much BS. I mean, it is a flat-out lie. But the thing is, if you're going to take an action in Washington, D.C., like Paul Ryan has, where he supports Obama's plan on this, then at least be man enough to stand up and say, this is what I did and I'm proud of it. If you're not proud of it, then don't do it.
Well, if he did that, he'd be unelected immediately, and he knows it. See, the reason he gets paid the big bucks, the reason that he's got like $5 to $9 million to work with right now, and our guy, Paul Nehlen, has been very fortunate and blessed to have raised around $1 million probably at this point. And by the way, we can win with less money. One of the things people need to understand is 94% of the time in political science, the candidate that spends the most wins, except when there's a problem in the GOP primary and you've got one that's an amnesty supporter like Eric Cantor was, and the challenger guy is against amnesty, then, you know, you can win with less money because so many people, you know, are on our pro-enforcement side. But the truth of the matter is that the big money is being paid to Paul Ryan and other conservatives because the biggest socialist, liberal Democrats are a dime a dozen. The universities across this land and the media are producing more socialist liberals every day, and they're pumping in more illegal aliens and Muslims that'll vote Democrat every day. So those are dime a dozen. If you want to make a lot of money in politics right now, the big money is going out and lying to conservatives and Christians and older Americans and deceiving them and being a Judas goat who's willing to show up in a tie and smile at them and shake their hands in churches and tell them that you're their guy and you're going to do what they want and then go to Washington, D.C. and do something 180 degrees with Obama, different with Obama. And that's exactly what McCain and Ryan are doing. And it's what's killing the America. When you look at that big money, with those big lies told by people like Ryan and McCain, it is the root of all American evil. It is what is at the core that is destroying this nation.
That's right, because if you're going to lie on that subject, what else are you lying about? All right, everyone stay
with us. It's a mass lie. We need a new term in America that stands for somebody that tells deadly lies to millions of people simultaneously.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and take a break right there. We're going to have lots more with William Dean of Alipac. And believe it or not, you can help defeat Hillary's secret weapon for amnesty, Paul Ryan. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today to William Geen of Alipac. That's Americans for Legal Immigration PAC. Their website, if you'd like to go visit, is alipac.us. And we'll link that up on iSpyRadio.com. And so we've been talking about Paul Ryan here. And do you have any information on some of the polls there? Because they seem to be all over the place, and it's hard to get accurate information, it seems.
Well, if you hear a poll about Donald Trump or the Paul Ryan race or any race at this point, you got to realize there's a well over 50% chance that poll is simply a technique designed to make you have an opinion about whether resistance is futile or this candidate's going to win. So we've had a lot of Paul Ryan can't be defeated kind of polls that were coming out in May and stuff like that. But Paul Nealon has talked about his internal polling, and he said back, you know, in May that Paul Ryan was up around 70 and he was down around 26. But a couple of weeks, about 2 weeks ago, he was online on the show with Lou Dobbs, and he said that their internal poll showed most importantly that Ryan had fallen, collapsed to under 50%, and that he was up at 36. So the poll showed weeks ago that the gap was closing rapidly and that Paul Ryan's under 50%, with 25% of the people in the district still undecided. Now, I think that that sounds a lot more accurate than some of the other stuff that I'm seeing coming from, you know, especially when you're getting a poll from CNN, the Associated Press, AOL, Time Warner, all these open borders clowns. They're always going to say, Donald Trump can't win. Let me tell you about Donald Trump. Right now, Donald Trump is in the lead. How much he's in the lead, I don't know, but he's ahead of Hillary. Okay, all these polls coming from the New York Times and Boston Globe and L.A. Times claiming that Hillary's up by 5 or Hillary's up by 9, bogus. They're bogus, bogus, bogus. They're all designed to make it look like she's stronger than she is. Right now, Trump is in the lead, and I believe that lead's going to increase as we get closer to Election Day. And the most of what you're going to, when people are floating you polls and they say things, you'll notice all the polls try to make you think that Rhino Republicans like McCain and Ryan are going to win no matter what. And then they said the same thing about Eric Cantor. When two years ago when we participated in, when Alipac played a strong role in the historic and unprecedented and unexpected defeat of the Titan Eric Cantor, they were saying the same thing. He couldn't be beat. He was so strong. He was up in the polls. He had millions more dollars to play with, blah, 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 blah. He lost by a landslide, 55 to 45%. And part of that reason is that Republican voters, while gullible in some ways and influenceable they can be deceived like anybody else, overall, they are the most conscientious and attentive voters in the country. They are the ones that are trying so hard to get what, you know, regardless of what candidate they support in the primary, they're trying so hard to get it right for America. They're not voting based on identity. They're not walking out saying, I'm voting because I'm gay, black, or Hispanic. They're not walking out saying, I'm voting because the government gives me my financial aid. They're not voting on identity politics. They're voting on rational, survival, national interest decision-making process. And when you have a low turnout, especially June, July, August primary, like we had for, I think the Eric Cantor race was in June, and now we've got an August primary for Paul Ryan, the turnout numbers are low, but that's good because that means all the mush heads that don't really know what's going on don't go push buttons. All the people that are like, oh, gosh, I saw so-and-so's commercial more than the other guy, so I'm going to vote for him. The people that make decisions off of mass marketing that's paid for by the millions of corrupt money that's behind this invasion, they don't show up. People who are like, you know, I've actually gone to Google and Yahoo and typed in Paul Rand's name, and I've typed in Paul Nealon's name, and, you know, there's no way in hell I'm going to vote for Paul Ryan. And I'll tell you right now, if every single Republican voter that was going to cast a ballot in Wisconsin on Tuesday actually spent 10 minutes doing Yahoo and Google searches on Paul Ryan versus Paul Nealon, Paul Ryan wouldn't get 20% of the vote.
No,
he wouldn't.
No.
He wouldn't get 20. He wouldn't make a quarter of the vote.
Yeah, it's amazing how much your opinion can be changed when you actually dig into what these candidates have actually done. You raise an interesting point though about the polls and as far as Hillary versus Trump. I don't even really look at the polls right now, simply because all you need to do is look at the optics of things, in the sense that Hillary can barely get 100 people at some of these events, and Trump, they are packed to the rafters. And that alone tells you an awful lot. But what's interesting, though, about the polls is usually, in most election cycles, the most reliable polls are the ones that use likely voters. And the way that they determine likely voters, it's not that they call somebody and say, are you likely to vote, yes or no, and then opt them in. No, what they do is they look at that person's voting history. How often have they voted in the past 3, 4, 5 elections? If you voted for both primary and general, I mean, you are clearly a likely voter. Well, there's a lot of people that aren't even registered or haven't voted in years. So a lot of these polls aren't taking any of that into account because they have no means to reach those people.
Well, it's, you know, you can make a poll say anything you want it to say. If the design of it is to be used to communicate a message. But you see, inside of the campaigns, there's a different type of polling that takes place where they do an analysis, because inside the campaigns, they want to look at where they're really at. And if they're inside the campaign and where they're at is not a good spot, they're not going to spend $10,000 to $20,000 to run a tight poll on a congressional U.S. Senate campaign. Watch it say something that could damage their campaign, something they need to fix. If they don't fix by Election Day, they're going to lose. And then run it up the flagpole for everybody to see it. The only time that they share it is when they pay for a poll that either naturally says what they want you to know, or they paid for it to say what you wanted to know. And the people that run polls, wink and nod, know how to make a poll say about anything they want based off the sample, that the wording they use and the sample that they pull. We live in a virtual reality world where everybody's out there in their different little information bubbles, whether it's talk radio, the internet, or their little smartphones or iPads. They've just got their face stuck in all the time. And what information can and cannot reach you is closely guarded by very powerful politicos. And you got to pay. If you can pay the millions that the sellouts and the traders can afford from their 30-plus pieces of silver, then you can afford to get in people's face and say, hey, I'm Paul Ryan. I want to secure the border and protect you from terrorists. And you're like, okay, I'm pushing a button for Paul Ryan. He wants to secure the border and protect me from terrorists. And he goes up to Washington and gives Obama the money to import illegal aliens over the borders and terrorist Muslims.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the problem. But we're fighting back. Right now, Paul Nealon in Wisconsin, he needs volunteers. There's still volunteer work. People can volunteer from any state in America to make calls. We also have a volunteer program going on at AllyPAC. And we're going to call right through the close of polls on Election Day. Anybody that wants to make volunteer to make some 20, you know, we're asking everybody to try 25 numbers of GOP voters, and they can email me to get a voter list and a little script at William G, WILLIAMG@ALIPAC.US. That's William G at AllyPAC.US. We have a little sample script that anybody can read, and we have a very important message. There's one clear, focused message we're trying to reach the voters of Wisconsin with, and that is, we just wanted to warn you and make sure that you knew that Paul Ryan supports amnesty for illegal immigrants and has funded Obama's dangerous illegal alien and Muslim refugee importation programs.
Right. Right,
and that's the truth, and that's it in a nutshell. But, you know, you may know that, and I may know that, and everybody listening to this show may know that. But if the people that are going to be voting on Tuesday in Wisconsin don't know, understand, and believe that, and the best way to reach those people is one person calling them and talking to them on the phone.
That's
it's
right.
A thing, you know, makes people a little shy to do it, but we've got over 35 people doing it through Alipac. So volunteers are needed by both Alipac and Paul Nehlen. Donors are needed by Paul Nehlen and Alipac. Right now, Paul Nehlen's campaign is making some of the same decisions we are at Alipac. How many direct voter contacts can we run? How many radio ads can we run? How many automated calls can we make? How many online contacts can we afford between now and the time that the polls close on Tuesday night, August 9th? And we've got to fight hand in hand for every dollar,
yes,
every volunteer, and every voter we can get, one at a time, to be able to channel that in. And we're going to, you know, our email alerts at alipac.us, they're free. We're going to put out a final appeal this evening for volunteers and donors to help support what it is that we're, you know, trying to do here on August 9th. And any funds that we receive between now and next Tuesday are all going into this race, 100%. Being poured in there. And we're a low budget, small volume on the financial part, very strong in our grassroots and our strategies. Alipac's power has come from our volunteers, our strategies being, you know, quirky but interesting and effective at times and unexpected, crazy like a fox kind of stuff. And three, the fact that the truth of the matter is that over 80% of these voters agree with us if truth be known.
Yeah, I was going to say it really helps that you're on the right side of the issue, that you're here to defend America and defend American law. And if you're going to come here legally. Let's go ahead and take a break here. We're going to wrap things up with William Gein of Alipac. Their website one more time, alipac.us. Stay with us. And welcome back. We're in our final segment now, wrapping things up with William Gein of Alipac. That's Americans for Legal Immigration, PAC. And so real quick here, we've only got just a couple minutes. Do you get any sense that Hillary Clinton is helping out the Paul Ryan campaign in terms of finances or other types of help?
Well, while there's not direct financial contributions, which would be pretty wild, you know, Obama came out and asked Paul Ryan and McConnell to go after Trump. So there is a collusion between the Hillary camp or the Democratic camp, and Ryan and McConnell, these rhinos. The other thing is Paul Nehlen, who's running against Paul Ryan in the August 9th primary, pointed out that Paul Ryan's comments late bashing Trump and not supporting Trump adequately ought to be listed as in-kind contributions to the Hillary campaign, because that's what they are, in effect. So there is, while there's not a direct contribution, there are many indirect contributions going on between Hillary and Ryan.
Oh, yeah, they're certainly helping out for sure. In the minute or so that we have left, just give us a recap again what people can be doing if they'd like to help defeat Paul Ryan.
If you want to help out, you can go to paulnehlen.com.
And Nehlen is spelled N-E-H-L-E-N, paulnehlen.com.
And we need you at alipac.us, A-L-I-P-A-C.us. I'd send 25 phone numbers in Wisconsin that anybody can call from a landline or a cell phone or the internet phone. And we'll email you a simple script and your phone list. You can just email me at williamg@alipac.us, or just contact me through the feedback connector on the alipac.us website. And we do need donations, and I know that Paul Nehlen needs checks or money. Mailing a check into us and Paul Nehlen won't reach us in time now in the final day, so the websites are the way to go with the donations.
Right.
And if you know anybody up in Wisconsin, you can email or call and talk to him and say, hey, you know, I heard about what's going on up there, and I really hope that you guys kick Paul Ryan out of office here on Tuesday, because it's important for the country.
That one-to-one contact is so important, and we'll link all of that up on iSpyRadio.com. To make sure that if you want to help out, you can certainly find ways to do that. William, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
Next week, we're going to continue our discussion with William Gein, and we'll take an in-depth look at Hillary's immigration plan. We'll also be joined by best-selling author Scott McEwen of American Sniper fame, so be sure to join us for that. And be sure to check out our website, iSpyRadio.com, for details on how you can help defeat Paul Ryan. And think of it like this. You're not only stopping Paul Ryan, you'll be sending a message to every Republican out there, you better get your act together and get behind our candidate. Be sure to check all that out and share it, because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.